Great to have you back. Thank you for sitting in on this special time of answering questions. And we have a few that you have sent in. Appreciate that. And for those of you who are contemplating, send in your questions at questions@openarmschurch.com. Well, we do have a few that refer directly to the message today. We'll handle them, and then maybe a couple of others that have more to do with re-engaging, regathering. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to address some of that. And then Pastor Josh is going to give us a synopsis of what we talked about Thursday night and let you know about the survey that's coming this afternoon. But there's one question here. Did we decide which one we're going to tackle first?
Yeah, so there's a question that came in about verse 33 specifically, where it says, heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus says, but my words will not pass away. So someone wrote and asked, can you explain more about heaven and earth passing away? Is this when the new heaven and new earth occurs?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Now, Revelation 21 says this, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city Jerusalem coming out of heaven. So yeah, that Jesus is prophesying, he's pointing forward to what Revelation 21 is talking about. Yeah, that all that's here will pass away and there'll be a new heaven and new earth.
Yeah, that's good. I had another question. Looking at verse 36, there was the call. One of the things that Jesus called us to do is to stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. A question came in for someone who's a believer. In essence, what are we to stay awake praying for? And the person who wrote asked about verses 25 through 28 and the description of the coming of the Son of Man. Is that what the believer is looking forward to? Is that the rapture? What are we to be staying awake and praying for?
Yeah, good question. You know, verse 36, stay awake at all times, praying about what? What should I pray for? Praying that you might have strength. Strength for what? Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place. All what things that are going to take place? Well, on one level, remember who he's talking to. Those who, many of them will be alive at the destruction of Jerusalem, they wouldn't escape the Rome's plundering of Jerusalem if they didn't stay awake and weren't alert and aware. So on one level, it would have been that. So what's left for us? He seems to go beyond that, though, because he's escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So he's not just talking about the temple, although that's part of what he's talking about. But again, he's going forward to the end. Pray that you would have strength to escape all these things, to stand before the Son of Man. To escape all what things? And then we bring 25 through 28, the signs in the sun and moon, stars, in the ocean. People faint because of foreboding, it says. And then Jesus comes back with power and great glory. I think escape is Jerusalem, but I also believe what Jesus is saying there, escape the judgment that will come when Jesus returns, that Jesus will come with power and great glory in verse 27, and that will be judgment. So I'm not sure if he's specifically talking about the rapture there in 27, or if this is final judgment. I lean towards final judgment because they will see the Son of Man coming after these signs of in the heavens, but that's to be a sign for us to straighten up and say, "Ooh, he's coming. We're going to be saved." So we will escape the wrath that he brings when he returns. But those who aren't trusting in him won't escape it. Now the timing of the rapture in there and all of that, and when we'll escape before his judgment comes, I'm not sure. But But I think that's what he's talking about, the temple and the end times as well. And so we are to pray and stay awake so we're not distracted and drift away and fall away. Again, not losing our salvation, but proving that we weren't saved and following this judgment that's coming. Please add to it, guys, if you can add clarity. But
well, I'm sure of that date now. Yeah, it's a great question, and it seems to be indicating both. So I agree with you. It's not very clear, but I agree with your summary of that.
And I don't know about how many of you, you know, watching, but as I listened this morning, I was struck by, and you set it up with that opening illustration, just we tend to focus on the when and what's the order and when is the rapture going to happen and how long after that and what's happening now. And just in this passage, and we see throughout Scripture, Jesus just keeps putting the emphasis back on what and what to do and the stay awake and the pray and the don't be distracted. And that was just helpful for me. Just to be reminded of that we can even look at all the things that are happening and try to think, oh, okay, is it a year away? Is it next week or is it close? And it's Jesus says, you don't know. Focus on following me. Focus on obeying me now and inviting others to do the same. So that was really helpful through the complexities of this passage just to come away with that.
Not to belittle ourselves too much, but we're in many ways like the kids in the back seat. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-hour trip, and my dad says, we'll be there in 3 hours. I have no idea what 3 hours is. So 5 minutes later, I'm saying, are we there yet? You know, and so I think in many ways we're in that position. You know, it's not necessarily wrong to try to figure out timing and things, but at the end of the day, like, it'll be a lot clearer once it happens. You know, like when it happens, we'll go, oh. But we're the kids in the back seat that can't quite put things together. But our Father in the front seat, he knows exactly where he's going. He knows exactly when we're going to get there. And thankfully, he gives us some instructions as to what to do in the back seat while we're following him, waiting to get there.
Yeah.
So
it's a good picture saying, be careful. You can bend towards despondency and despair while you wait. He's saying, don't do that. So that's why we pray. Right? Prayer helps us to get out of that. He says, or some may bend towards debauchery and drunkenness. And so that's why we pray, so that we don't fall into that temptation. And I think that's what we, you know, as we look to his coming, we live today as if he can come today. Mm-hmm. And help me, Lord, to be well in my soul, in my mind, in my lifestyle, mm-hmm. that there would be no shame at all, but thankful, Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord, today. I'm ready today.
Another question came in related to the sermon. Kevin, at one point you're talking about the things that Jesus calls us to do that are counterintuitive. And one of those, you referenced James 5, was that we should confess our sins one to another. And someone wrote and asked, is confessing our sins to one another just as critical as confessing our sins to God?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. The short answer is no, it's not as critical, because if I confess my sin to Josh can't forgive me on behalf of God. I mean, I need to confess it to the Lord to receive forgiveness. Now, as I've sinned against Josh, I need to ask him to forgive me. But yeah, no, I need to confess my sin. That's way more important, to confess it to God. No man can forgive me on God's behalf. But, you know, we talked about it on Thursday. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Mm-hmm. And there's something about confessing things to a brother that is humbling. And sometimes we harbor a heart of pride by saying, well, I asked the Lord to forgive me, and so that's good. And we're protecting a heart of pride that wants to hide.
Yeah.
And the way to fight that is to bring, especially if we're not getting victory, right, over sin. I'm not saying we have to go and tell everybody everything we did that day that was wrong, but particularly if we're bound up in sin and can't get free of that, It may be because of pride, and we're clogging God's grace because of our pride. And he says he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So in confessing to a brother, it's very humbling to make that known, you know? And that in that moment, God can provide grace, and through the prayers of brothers or sisters, God works. So it's not more as important or more important, but it's important, particularly on things that we are we're stuck in. And that's why I think James says, you know, sometimes this sin can lead to sickness, right? And James, is it 5 or 4?
Five.
And he says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, so maybe not even just physical sickness, but just there can be stuff that we're just stuck and we need to confess so that the Lord will work. So,
in that same verse where many of us take comfort in 1 John chapter 1, confess your sins to God and the purity, the righteousness of Jesus will cleanse us. But I'm always drawn and reminded in verse 5 of that same chapter, as John the Apostle would write, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And so God knows everything, and he'll press us. Confess. You're going to reap what you sow. Confess in turn. I like Proverbs 28:13. The one who confesses his sin and turns from his sin will find mercy. But this is talking about we really don't have fellowship with each other as the body of Christ. If we're saying, I'm good, I'm fine, when we're not, we're stuck. And that sharing, coming out of that darkness into that light by sharing with someone, I've been struggling. He says, all of a sudden, now you have koinonia. That word means unity in that one thing that you all have in common, Jesus. What he's done, and that brother or sister that we confess to, you know, they're not going to come at us and judge us and condemn us. They shouldn't. They go, thank you for sharing. I love you more today than I did yesterday because I didn't know, but you shared this. Let's go to his throne of grace and let him lift up your spirit. But that's really been a helpful text for me to remember the dual, going to the Lord, but also going to other believers, protecting from hypocrisy.
So, Pastor Kevin, there were 33 complex verses. You did such an outstanding job of explaining it that as of right now, we don't have any other passage-specific questions. So, kudos to you. Or maybe you're at home and you're like, I'm still trying to figure this out, and you can email them later. That's fine, too. We'll address those on Thursday. But for right now, we can come back to the passage if we want to. But I do want to go to one other question that came in. Very good question. It says this. With the stress and impatience of reopening, there is growing potential for disagreements with Christians on when and how to open churches, as well as political division over the issue. And the question was, how can we keep such divisions from hurting our church body? It's a fantastic question. I think, John, you had a couple thoughts you wanted to start with.
Yeah. I guess during this whole time, because we hear different reports, right? Internally, we have different leanings, maybe suspicious of that report or this report. And I know what's been helpful for me is praying and being cautious of my pride, that I think I know something or I have an opinion on something. And two verses, both from Philippians, one from chapter 1 and one from chapter 2, I would share. In chapter 1, verse 9, Paul, as he's saying to the church of Philippi, where it's a difficult time, he's in prison for the gospel. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more notice the two boundaries of love, in knowledge and depth of insight. So knowledge and discernment. And so love for others, needs to come with knowledge and discernment. And any of us that would claim that we have the knowledge of what's really going on here, we need to be careful. And so we pray for discernment. Notice what he says. So that you may be able to discern what is best or most excellent, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. So there's something about praying, right? Romans 8:26. In our weakness, when we don't know how to pray, that we pray. And then the Spirit grabs hold of our spirit without words. There's an internal groaning, and then the Spirit begins to unpack for us the mind of Christ. And then I like what Paul says in Philippians 2, and this would be for us in this season, because I see and listen to, and not really from our church, but just out there in the world in cyberspace, sharp attacks one against another. And maybe it is even happening amongst Christians, but Paul would write in verse 3, speaking now as a result of who Christ is in chapter 2 in Philippians, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look out not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Then he goes into describe that attitude that Jesus had. To me, that's the key. It's not my selfishness. What I want to see done, when I want to see it done, how I want to see it done. I have thoughts. I have opinions. I have strong views. I lay them down because of this scripture and others. It's like, how am I considerate of others? How am I putting them first? Whatever those things that may go on, where some way may fall in very dogmatic, and this is a conspiracy, and this isn't so serious, to another one who's struggling, fearful, knows somebody who has died, and there's timidity. Well, how do you consider both who could be in the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. The Lord just say, let these truths guide you in these days. It's not about you. It's about loving others in discernment and in wisdom. And the Lord will lead us well, I believe, in those days, as we've been reading all the reports we can, gathering knowledge, information as much as we can, saying, Lord, now give us discernment. What's best? What's most excellent as we move forward in these days, thinking of others? And I think as we do that as a body, there'll be protection there for us.
Very much along those lines, I came across an article a couple days ago on a website. I think we've even referred to it during some of these chats, but the Gospel Coalition, that's a great resource. I'm just going to quote it because the author who wrote this article, I just thought they did a really good job of, similar to what Pastor John shared, just showing both sides and referencing a few scriptures. And I love the way it starts. It says, the church has an opportunity to model love that places the interests of others above the self. So it's not just how do we survive this, how do we keep from fighting against each other, but to turn that and say, no, we have an opportunity, contrary to what a lot of what is happening in the world around us and other conversations in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, we have an opportunity to show how that Christ-like humility puts others' interests above our own. For example, someone might find it personally difficult, even maddening, to have to wear a mask during church and stay 6 feet away from everyone at all times. You might think these precautions are a needless overreaction. But, and this is the author writing, says, here's the thing, even if it turns out you're right, can you not sacrifice your ideal for a season out of love for others who believe the precautions are necessary? Even if you personally think it is silly or even cowardly for someone to stay at home even after the church is open again on Sundays, can you not heed Paul's wisdom in Romans 14? Mm-hmm. Let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Or, also, similar thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Be careful, however, that your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. So that's the one side. And then the other side. Likewise, those who think the lockdown should continue should not pass judgment on those who question the wisdom of the ongoing restrictions. Churches, what we want to do and we wrestle with and want to partner with together, what we need to do as a church is to strive to honor people on both sides of the spectrum and the reality that all of us probably fall somewhere in between that. Mm-hmm. It will be a sacrifice for those of us who are sick of masks, sick of social distancing, sick of Zoom, to continue to use those for the sake of others. But perhaps there is nothing more Christian than a posture of sacrifice, and we should embrace it with gladness.
Can I just add real quick? This morning, some of you may get it, but the verse of the day on YouVersion, the app, the Bible app, the verse of the day was John 13. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Mm-hmm. It's what you were saying, Josh, but you know, we wonder, how can we reach out to people? How can we witness? Huge opportunity. We show we are his disciples by the love we have for one another, even especially in this time. But yeah.
And love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So that's a good word.
And Pastor John mentioned it a few minutes ago, and we talked a little bit about it on Thursday night, but very much in line with the theme, the central point of the message this morning. We haven't spent as much time as pastors talking about when we're going to regather here as much as the what, as much as the how. What does that look like? As many of you probably know, you know, right now our region, this part of New York State, the capital region, has not yet entered into what the state has determined as phase one of a four phase of reopening things back up. So that's where we are as of today. That could change as of tomorrow. But there's not... Honestly, there's not clear guidance for what those phases mean for churches, but there still are the limits on gathering. There is still ongoing in all of those phases, discussion about social distancing, you know, keeping that 6 feet apart, wearing masks when close to one another, etc. And so what we've been doing over the last, you know, probably a couple weeks now especially, is talking about what will our Sunday morning gatherings look like in the weeks to come whenever we are able to get to a place where we can reopen. We don't have all the answers to that. What we do know is that at least in the beginning, it will likely be smaller. We won't have 500 chairs out and have 300 people here. That doesn't seem that that's probably the best way to start out. So we'll likely be smaller. It's also, it seems very likely that we will not be able to have children's ministries, at least not right away in the beginning. There will be other adjustments in terms of physical space. They'll be doing a lot more cleaning, both before and after, etc. So there's a lot of things that we're looking to implement. We do know it's going to look different, but we want to get back to that place where we are able to meet together for those of you that are able to do so. But recognizing, even just as we read and have been talking about, not everyone is going to be able to do so. Not all of you are going to feel comfortable with coming. Not all of you are going to be physically able to come. And so we are not going to stop doing the online services for, you know, the foreseeable future until maybe things radically change. So we plan to continue to offer that for those of you that will feel more comfortable or have to stay at home, even as we begin to look to having opportunities for us to meet in person. One thing we want to do in that process, and Pastor John mentioned it earlier, is this afternoon, hopefully we have your email address. If not, please get it to us as soon as possible. But this afternoon, you will get an email with a link to a survey. It's four questions. It'll take you no more than 2 to 3 minutes. Essentially, what we want to talk through some of those details a little bit more. In that survey itself, there's a brief opening paragraph that includes a couple of other details about what those Sunday services might look like. And then we just want to ask you, where are you at? You and your family. If and when we're able to reopen with, let's say, maybe 75 people here, would you feel comfortable coming to a service with that many people in the room? So I just want to ask you that, and we're going to send that survey to you by email this afternoon. If by any chance you could fill it out today or fill it out tomorrow, your prompt response will be helpful as we gather every Tuesday. We've been doing that. We've continued to do that. We gather to process everything, and it would be great to have as many responses as possible by Tuesday afternoon so that we can look at, okay, as a body, where are we at? Want to get a sense of that. We really, really want your input, want to hear from you in that process, even as we begin to look down the road to what will come. So be looking for that email, and thank you in advance for your willingness to respond to that. I was talking. Did any other questions come in?
One did. We can answer that now or defer. Why don't we answer it?
Sure.
And so the question, it had more to do with confessing sins one to another. And this person spoke about their previous religious experience where they pretty much were instructed to do that to leaders in the church. That was a necessity. And as they look at the scripture now, it's, oh, you confess to the Lord. And we confess to one another. Let's not confuse the two. We're forgiven by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And in a way, when I miss the mark against my wife, and I'm convicted by that, and I realize, and I go to her, I say, honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. She's released to be able to forgive me in that. And so we are to forgive one another as each one comes. And even if they don't come, we are to forgive them. But it's not the same grace that has been given to us as Jesus paid for our sin. But part of the question was also, who do I trust? Who do I confess my struggles with? That's a great question. Those who are in your midst, who walk with Jesus, who are mature in their relationship with Christ, who you know through their character can keep a confidence. And their response as you confess your sin is to pray with you and to encourage you and to remind you of Scripture and to say, keep it up. Let's hold each other accountable. But it's somebody who's trustworthy, somebody whom you know. And that's a good question. And some sins are not to be confessed to everybody, but are to a few who can walk alongside you and encourage you and keep you accountable.
Yeah, I was thinking 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Yeah, so it's very clear, there's one mediator. We go to Jesus, we find forgiveness with God. So, but sometimes can help us to confess to others, but it's not a matter of forgiveness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From God. Good. Well, join us Thursday night, 7:30. Well,
yeah. And before you join us on Thursday night at 7:30. So again, the pickup times were posted by email. So this evening at 6 o'clock and Tuesday at
6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's John, right? Knows.
He said Wednesday at 10 a.m.
There you go.
And Thursday at 6 o'clock. An hour each time. And yes, if it overflows a few minutes after that, no problem. We look forward to seeing you.
One or two or three of us will be here in the driveway right as you pull up to the main door. We will greet you, and we will have those two-in-one Lord's Supper servings. I don't know what you call it. Both the wafer and the cup, that will be available. Some of you have asked about if gluten-free wafers are available. Mm-hmm. Indeed, they are. We've had them. Mm-hmm. We will continue to have those. We'll have those in separate baggies. So when you pull up, anticipate letting us know how many do you need and do you need gluten-free wafer or not. We'll be happy to give those to you. And honestly, again, just happy to see you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it's an opportunity to see many of you. If you cannot get here, please let us know through whatever means. You can go to the Hope page on the website. You can contact any one of us individually. There's a team of people who are willing to make deliveries and bring them to you. Mm-hmm. So even if we can't do it personally, someone will be happy to do that. Also to clarify, it's been said a couple times, but we will take that together next Sunday. So when you're coming here to the church or somebody were to drop it off, we're not going to do it right then. We're not going to share in the Lord's Supper right then, but we want to get them in your hands, in your homes, so that next Sunday, toward the end of the service, after we've gone through the passage and looked at what Jesus describes as to why we do this. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Just that passage and then that opportunity to do that together. And so at the end of that service, that's when we will take that all together. So you're just coming by to pick them up and take them home. And then we look forward to having that that remembrance time next week after the conclusion of the service.
Yeah.
So with that, thank you again for being with us. We will see you on... hopefully, maybe sometime during this week, and if not, also on Thursday night for the live chat. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being with us, and we will we'll see you soon.